Okay, so I figured I'd do a short Agada stuff from this week's Parsha. I just put everything, we'll get through what we get through. It's a short Agada. I didn't say the source sheet was short, please. Those are not the same thing, Yaakov. But because it's in Kiddush, I'm trying to figure out how to do it. So, the Gemara has a shocking statement on Daf Bechet of Ben. Amar Rabbi Levi, Kasheh Onshan Shel Midot, Yoter Me'onshan Shel Arayot. The punishment for having unfair weights and measures is greater than the punishment for illicit sexual relationships. Despite the fact that the latter carries the death penalty is one of the cardinal sins. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Okay? What is proof? Shezeh ne'emar bohen. Al. Shezeh ne'emar bohen eile. Because one uses the word el. The other one, Ela, the extra hey. Umay mashmadayel. Okay, so how do you know that that's stringent? Tichtiv, that Eleha aret bakach, because it means power, right? El means power. The gabe arayot, not the tichtiv, Ela, doesn't it also say Ela by the arayot? Ha'uli me'ute mido mikare. No, that just tells you that only the arayot have kare. So the Gemara says, wait a second. So only the Arayot have Kari, but not Midot, meaning only the Arayot have Kari, but not unfair weights and measures, the Elamai Adfayu. Then in what sense is it true that it is worse to be involved in having, right, dishonest weights and measures? Dahatam Efshar B'Tshuva, Hachalo Efshar B'Tshuva. Answer, is Tshuva possible? Arayot, yes. Dishonest weights and measures, no. Great. What do you mean?
You have tshuva for killing someone.
So there's a lot of questions we have to ask here. First of all, what does it mean that dishonest weights and measures are worse than Arayot? What does it mean they're worse but they have less punishment but no tshuva? Right? Meaning the whole logic here is a little bit skewed, right? One is karet, the other doesn't, but the punishment is worse. But wait a second, isn't the punishment karet? Didn't you just say that? Isn't karet worse? I don't understand, right? And what is that? And what does it mean? There's no right tshuva. Okay, you missed the whole Gemara. Yes, because a two-line Gemara. But the Gemara is basically, right, the punishment of dishonest ways and measures is worse than that of illicit sexual relationships. Gemara says, because one has the word El, the other has the word Ela. Ela is worse. Gemara says, but only Arayot have Karet. So Gemara says, wait a second, but if the Arayot have Karet and Midot don't, then how are they worse? Because one has Tshuva, the other doesn't have Tshuva. That's the Gemara statement. Okay? Great. Anyone want to help me? What does this mean? What does this mean? And yes, I know, Yaakov is like, short, look at these sources. The answer is yes. Just a simple look at the sources. Shockingly, everyone wants to know, what are you talking about? Right? This is very, very odd. And, right, so what does it mean it doesn't have tshuva for the midot? And why? I mean, why doesn't it have tshuva? What is it, right? Okay. So what we're going to try to do is try to just understand what is it about dishonest weights and measures, right? It's in this week's Parsha. Why is it so bad? The Arayot are also in this week's Parsha. Why is it so bad? Both of these week's Parshas. Yitzchera and Chav. Achreimot and Kiddush. So, Rashbam says, Arayot mu'elet tshuva, i'avad leik tshuva me'al yata. Kedichiv, tshuva banim shovavim arvam mishuva tchev. Ramrinan Nami Kol Chayev Echidot Shilako Niftero Midei Kriktatan. He says, look, if you do tshuva for the Arayot, it works. Proof, there's a pasuk. Two, there's a Gemara. The pasuk says, do tshuva, and I will forgive you. The Gemara says that anyone who is Chayev Karet, if he gets Malkut, he's already patur from Karet. Aval Midot Shigozel et Harabim E'efsher lo b'tshuva. But dishonest ways and measures, he can't do tshuva because it's communal theft, or theft of the community. And what's the problem? What's the only way to do tshuva for theft? Right? Utshuvato kluya bashava gzela. Dichtiv eishivet gzela. Right? You have to return it. V'hu eino yodei lamim yachzir. And he doesn't know who to give it back to. The afal gav de amrinan yaseh behem sorche rabim. And even though the Gemara in Bava Kama says that there is a solution, which is use the funds for communal infrastructure, communal needs. Ein zu tshuva me'alya. That's not full tshuva. Me'achar she'enu meshiv le'ba'alim ela she'beir lo amutav. Because he's not giving it back to the owner. He's just telling you the best under the circumstances. Okay, so what does the Rashbam, how does the Rashbam understand this Haggadah? Right, let's try to parse what the Rashbam is actually saying here. Is Arayot actually, which is actually worse according to Rashbam, Arayot or Midot? Arayot. Right, I think that's clear. Right, according to Rashbam, Arayot is worse. Right? And therefore, he's very careful. It's not Arayot is worse. Right? It's not Midot is worse. It's Kansha Unshan. Their punishment is worse because it's unlikely that, right, if you managed to do, if you don't do tshuva for Arayot, right, meaning the way the Rashbam would put it is, if you don't do tshuva for Arayot, presumably it's worse. You get karet.
I don't even know if that's the punishment
will be given. Right, meaning, if you don't do tshuva, then the punishment will be worse. It's just that it's easier to do tshuva for Arayot. It's harder for Midot. Right? And therefore, the Gemara is not saying that Arayot, that dishonest weighty measures are worse than Arayot. It's just saying that when there is an act you have to do that precedes the tshuva, and you can't really do it, then your tshuva will never be complete, and therefore it's almost impossible to avoid punishment, which as bad as Arayot is, it doesn't have that feature. Right? We agreed that the Rashbam deals with this Haggadah. Tosvot has a problem. Because Tosvot says, wait a second. What's the implication of the Gemara? Definitely as Rashbam understands it. That it's easy-ish, or there's nothing standing in your way of doing tshuva for Arayot. What's the problem with that logic? Because... Very good. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, what's the paradigmatic sin for which you can't, which you can never fix? Arayot, when you have a mamzer. In fact, what pasuk does the Gemara ascribe to that case? Uvat lo yachol litkom. That which is twisted cannot be fixed. Now, the second half of the Gemara became the weirdest, one of the weirdest songs ever, one of my many songs that I despise with a deep passion, right? The second one is V'chesron lo yichol imanot, right? You know this song. We've talked about this one before, right? It's one of these very super, like, Yeshiva Boys Choir songs, right? Well, first I'll tell you what the Gemara says. V'chesron lo yichol imanot, the continuation of the Gemara is, l'himanot? What do you mean, that which is lacking can't be counted? Lihi malot mi ba'ile. You should say that which is lacking can no longer be refilled. Ela, elu mi shamanu im chaveru v'dvar mitzvah v'hu lo nimna imahen. It's referring to this terrible situation where your friends count you in their group for a mitzvah and you choose to not be counted among them. That is the Gemara. It's a very depressing statement. Okay? The song goes, right, is that line, right? And it's like this fast, happy song. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? Really? No. No. This is not something to be happy about. Ah! Yeah. I hate this song. So bad. Oh my God. You shouldn't sing these things. I mean, okay, it's not as bad as singing that you're going to worship a Avodah Zarah, but still, like, it's, you know, it's not good. I really don't know. So he says, so what about Arayot? So there's two answers, right? There's two possibilities. What are the two possibilities of dealing with that Gemara? Before you look at Tosu, what are the two possibilities of dealing with that Gemara? Either it's limited to a case where you didn't have a child, right? I mean, the whole point is that arayot, if you just commit adultery and there's no child, so then you could do tshuva, and therefore, even though it's a worse sin, it's easier to do tshuva. But in a hanami, if there was a child and the child is a mamzer, then both of them are unfixable, and now which one is worse? Arayot, right? Meaning an even more limited read of Rashba. Yes. Yeah, only if they know about it, right?
But that seems to be saying that there's a
repercussion. Okay, I don't know. This is Tosfos' problem. I don't know, right? So he says, arayot. Okay, there's not fine. Not adultery, incest. Happy, better. Okay, great. Fine. Arayot mu'elet tshuva. Sorry. So Tosfos says the dafka arayot she'ein len mamzerut. Therefore, it must be incest without mamzerut. Right? Right? So therefore, Rashbam already limited it, that all this really Ariyot is worse. It's just that it's easier to fix Ariyot. Tosfos limits it further and says it's only Ariyot that did not produce a mamzer. Okay? One second, let's finish Tosfos. I'll take it in a second, Adam. But Rav Chaim Omer. But what's the second logical possibility? Before I take your question, what's the second logical possibility? No, see, this is very, right? The second possibility is, and this is really very Tosfos-y, right? This is very, very nitpicky, which is, maybe it's not fixable, but your tshuva can still be complete. Meaning, Tosfos' first answer assumes that muvat lo yachol itkon imply something about your tshuva. But it could just be a statement about reality, that now there is a result of your sin. That doesn't mean that your tshuva is hindered. Why would you say that? Why would you say different than Gzela in that sense? What's the logic? Because as bad as it is to have a mamzer running around, meaning, or flip it. The Torah never says that never tells you in order to do tshuva you need to get rid of the mamzer, right? Meaning the problem isn't that you've created a result that is irreversible. It's that in the case of midot, the Torah outlines the path to tshuva and you can't do it. So even though by arayot there's a consequence that isn't erased, it's still not as bad as midot because that getting rid of the mamzer is not part of the tshuva process. So that's the second answer in Tosfos. But Rav Chaim Omer, it's true that you can't fix it. They call Malcolm after b'tshuva, but that has nothing to do with tshuva. Should tshuva lo kadosh baruch hu, d'lo tshuva el lasot lo tshuva. When it comes to erva, no matter what you did, at the end of the day, God says you're responsible for tshuva. Aval gazlan shetshuvato sheyachzira gzela, but because by theft the Torah tells you what you need for tshuva, kidichtev heishiv gzela vehechad the gazal rabim eino yodia lemi yashiv, and now you don't know who to return to. Afal gav de amina yasev and tzorchei rabim, even though the Gemara gives you another out, which is to use it for communal funds, and come welcome la tshuva mal yatehu. That's not full tshuva. Right, so the second answer, right, answer one, well, you see, what's the conceptual difference between the two answers in Tosfos? When the Gemara says, muvat lo yachol tikon, is that your fault or a statement about reality? Right, meaning, does that get chalked up, right, as an additional sin, or is it just a description? Right, the first answer says, you did something that can't be fixed, and that's on you. And therefore, in that case, it's worse than midot. Second answer in Tosfos says, no, muvat lo yachol tikon means just descriptive. It's true. There's something that can't be fixed. But that's not your problem. I mean, fine, it's your problem, but it's not your problem. Right? When you have to deal with shiduchim, for your kid, it's your problem. Right? And it's tragic. Right? But it's not on your head in a spiritual sense. If you do tshuva. Yes, Adam.
I think you're not related to the answer to my question. But it was, what if, I think,
Right, meaning something like that, right? Meaning, right, I mean, there's two answers, right? Meaning, is, when it says that Muvat Lechol Gun is on the Mamzer, does that mean, and therefore your sin somehow perpetuates, or is it just a description that you did a sin, it had a result, that continues, but it's not, it's history is your sin, but its continued reality isn't sinful to you, right? Well, definitely not to him. The Rav Elchanan qualifies. He says, however, it's true that you don't, what does it mean that lo efshar b'tshuva? So he qualifies. He says, v'hacha lo efshar b'tshuva, sheinu yodia l'miach zero, because you don't know who to give it to, v'nireh, te'avagav d'lohomani tshuva, kol sheinu machzir, avim u'anus bazeh, hainu sheinu aver ne'ekeret mafreya. He qualifies and he says, what does it mean, tshuva doesn't work? It doesn't mean that from now on, you're not a good person in terms of how we relate to you in human courts. I mean, if you actually do tshuva, you're kosher leidut from now on, right? Meaning, from the human perspective, we can begin to relate to you from now on as a reformed person. What does this tell you? Simply that you haven't erased the past, right? Meaning there is still on your spiritual ledger, you can't erase the past. That's the problem. That's God's problem, though, not the court's, right? So he further sharpens this and says, what we mean is kasha, it means between you and God. It doesn't necessarily mean how we relate to you. Meaning if you did tshuva and did what you could and gave the money to communal things, since it's all you can do, from a human perspective, we can allow you to move on. That's in Russia, because you can't say that you're a Russia now. However, based on this, he's not really sure about Reb Chaim in Tosfos, because he says, wait a second, by that logic, isn't Reb Chaim the same? Meaning, isn't a mamzer exactly parallel to that? Right? That, okay, you can't undo the past, but from now on, if you've done tshuva, we'll treat you as a good person. Isn't that the same? The answer probably is not exactly. Right? Because in the end of the day, right, in one of the cases, this is the remnant of your sin. Right? As opposed to in the gzela case, still, you have a chiyuv to fix it, and you just can't. That's different than saying there's a permanent remnant of your sin. Those still aren't identical. Okay, let's give Ravina Gersho show. So the Arama just reminds you which psukim are you talking about, right? Et kol ha'toivot ha'el, or ki ha'tovat Hashem el-kecha kol osei eile, kol osei avel. And then he notes, well, doesn't it say Eila Bayerai at all? So just look at his last, you know what, okay, well, but the only thing he adds, right, is that by Arayot, the only thing you need for tshuva is just to be Poresh from it, right? Okay, fine. Look at Miri. Miri says in 7, Yeshvarim b'gzelo v'chamasim shena tshuva mitsuya behem. The Meiri already qualifies it even more. What does he say? There are certain types of theft that what's Eina Tshuva Mitsuya Bahem? It's like not common. Meaning, what's he really saying? Yes, exactly. He's saying this isn't even a universal rule, right? Tosfos qualified it at one end, right, which is it's only a rayot that didn't produce a mamzer. Now, Miri seems to qualify at the other end, which is under most circumstances, midot are worse simply because it's hard to do full tshuva. Correct. Meaning this is just most of the time. I think that's what he's getting at. Because you don't give it back. And we talk about ro oily zar ba'em biyoter. And he says, so then what's the real point of this Gemara? And it is, right, he's the first person to say this. Because until now, what did everybody say? At some level, the Gemara is asking, what's worse? He says, that's not really what it means. What does it mean? Literally, kashet. It's harder to do tshuva, to avoid punishment. From, and therefore, what's the message of the Gemara, right? The Meir is the first one to sort of hint at what is the point of this Gemara. Yeah. This isn't a metaphysical statement. I mean, so far everyone's been weighing the metaphysics. The Meiri comes in and says, you missed the point. The point here is not metaphysics. The point here is, yeah, exactly. It's warning you. He says it's very simple. It's warning you. And why does it need to warn you? Not just because the tshuva is hard, but because, very simply, no, he's much more prosaic here. Right? Because, look what he says. You sell all the time. You're always selling to people you don't know. Meaning, I need to warn you why. Because just practically, it's every day, many different people, right? Says, first of all, tshuva is not so easy. Right? Even though, right now, he seems to think that you do get a certain level of tshuva from doing communal contributions, but even that, he sounds like it's not Mitsuya. Right? As opposed to everyone else, he says it's tshuva but not complete, he seems to say even that's not going to happen. Right? I'm not really sure. He also says that what's the point here? Another reason why it's kasha is because, again, it's not a metaphysical statement. What is it? It's a warning. It's a didactic statement, which is, A, it's hard to not violate it, but the second point is, what do you think? Kalo be'ineha over. Itok shudavar muat.
Not something
people don't take it seriously. Right? Meaning, so far, Rosh Bam Tosfot, Kovach Yurim, Rabbi Gershom, Yad Ramah, all assume there's a metaphysical statement, and they try to figure out the metaphysics. The Meiri moves away from metaphysics and says, no, this is a didactic statement, which is, it's harder to do tshuva, it's easier to violate, and you don't take it seriously, right? So don't tell me, maybe Arayot is worse, that's not the point here. Kashyom Shan just means, you're not taking it seriously enough, right? You don't realize how easy it is to violate or hard it is to fix. You do realize that about Arayot.
And I think that's part of the reason that you stop against Arayot versus anything else is because Arayot is one of the big three.
Yeah, it's probably because Arayot's the big three. It's probably also Arayot, similar to money, has a sort of powerful desire. So it's a good comparison. I mean, it is something that people really want to do and do violate more regularly, probably than about desire and murder, right? But still not, right? Meaning, this is, maybe this is just me superimposing what, right, like 21st century, right? But it's probably true. Right, that from Jews on paper, right, will definitely tell you that you shouldn't murder, shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah, shouldn't be involved in illicit sexual relationships, and shouldn't lie, cheat, and steal, right? Almost all from people avoid Avodah Zarah. That's a very high percentage of from people in all communities, I think. Okay? Unless you are very loose in how you understand Avodah Zarah. You know, no, you understood midrash literally. No, yeah, I'm not, you know, very Maimonidean, but no. Right? Like, of all my friends, I know one. I have one friend who became an Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay? That's it. Right? You know. What? Tell me about it. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Right? No, like, Mamesh, like, wrote an article about lighting a candle in the Buddha idol before Shkia of Yom Kippur so that he could then go to the Chabad. Yes! No, he's a Jew. But he wrote this thing about, you know, how no one else realized the irony that they were rushing to not violate Shabbos by worshiping a bunch of them earlier. But he understood the irony. I was like, okay, that's weird. Fine. Most from Jews don't murder, right? Most from Jews also aren't involved in a riot, but it's not unheard of, right? Right? I'm not going to say they're going to justify it, but it's not unheard of, right?
And it's definitely not unheard of
that Jews are involved in... Right, exactly. Meaning, put it this way, right? The last category of from Jews, and for people who can't see it because it's in a recording, I have this in air quotes, from Jews, right, who lie, cheat, and steal, look, this is why there might or might not be an active Daf Yomi in jail. Might or might not. And Daf Yomi. Yes. Yes, I know. Yes, I got it. Right? So there is a certain logic to this, right? That arayot is something that people violate because they desire it. So, but it's still not as common as, you know, a little money there, a little insider trading here, a little thing. Yeah, you know. Yes, we give this yearly Ilui Nishmat, but Bernie made off. Yes, the Ilui Nishmat, so. Yes, exactly. Okay. Yes. Fine. Fine. So what we have so far is a series of metaphysical arguments, right, with variants within them. And now we have the didactic claim that's what this means. Okay. Fine. The Maharal takes a different approach. He says, Perish. Afki arayahu davar kashemo. It's true, arayot are bad. Very bad. Kilkak de barota toivot ha'el v'kol, alajun kashu milashon et ele aretz, etc. Right? It's bad. V'koshi shalahem. Why are they so bad? Mashakdiv ba'arayot et chuko taish ishmerush. Natana gadosh baruch hu chok. Shal yitzchaber adam al sher b'saro. God called it a chok. Because it's a rule, God's rule, a rule of nature, that you should stay away from incest, from your own flesh. He's violating like the fundamental laws of the world. And it's really bad to do that. Okay. So why are midot worse? So here's his claim. The type of sin being described here is not just any sin. It's a sin in a very specific way, which is breaking out of limitations. Right? So this is his theory. Arayot is fundamentally a breach of limits. Right? God says, don't basically, right, mix sexuality with, right, familial relationships. Midot is also a breach of limits. Why? Tell me why. Literally. No! Because midot are dishonest weights and measures. You mean you're literally misusing, right, a system which is built on order. Right? This isn't regular theft. Right? It's a very unique kind of theft, where you take something that is supposed to represent precision, right? That's what it does. And by playing with the weights, you're, right, you're messing with fundamental parameters, right? Right? It's a mida, it's a shear. So he says, in the end of the day, both of these are breaching, right, things that are supposed to be constraining, that set up frameworks. But he says, which is worse? So, well, which one? So he says, it's very simple. Which is worse in that sense? Midot. Why? Because at the end of the day, if someone stops sleeping with his relative, right, it's done, right? He has restored, at least from here on in, the balance in the relationships, right? Right now, he treats that person as his sister, right, not as his illicit lover, right? Order has returned, right? Limits have been placed. But why can't you do that by Mido? Yeah, meaning, because what would you need to do to get everything back into order?
Undo it all,
right? Because what happened is money has passed, right? Exactly, right? Meaning what you've done is now set in motion, right, an imbalance, right, in the system, which cannot be undone. And therefore, he explains what all the Rishonim are saying, but in a slightly sharper way. He says, why is it that using the money to pay for communal goods doesn't really fix it? Because, yes, in a certain sense, you're contributing back to the people you stole from. But that's not the real problem, is it? Right? It's not just theft, right? It's that you just sort of messed up the balance of the system, and there's nothing you can do to really reset it. Right? At the end of the day, you overcharge, you underpay, you're right, and it just, right? That, even if you give the money back, it will never reset the balance. It'll never make these, right? It will never quite make things equal again. Right? So he argues, and I don't even know how to categorize his answer. Right? His answer is that it's not about, it's not really metaphysical, and it's not really didactic either. It's a statement about a certain type of sin and the way it affects the world. It's the sins that affect boundaries. Right? Certain boundaries shouldn't be crossed, but once they are crossed, you can still stop crossing it from now on, and you've restored balance to the world. But a shtickle bit of dishonesty, right? Right? It's like, you know, you put a certain amount of counterfeit money into the system, right? Unless you can recover it, right? Let's not take the modern economy, but let's take a gold-backed economy, right? Right? A gold-backed currency. If you put some counterfeit money into the system, right? There's nothing you're going to be able to do that is going to reset the reality that now not all the cash that is available is backed by gold, right? It has created like a fundamental imbalance in the system, right? The system is predicated on a certain balance, and there's nothing you can do to change it unless you track down every dollar. But if you can't, no matter how much tshuva you do, in the end of the day, those dollars are out there, and there's, you know, $1 trillion that are backed by gold, and a trillion and a thousand that are not backed by gold, right? A thousand that's not backed by gold. Right? There's nothing you can quite do, right? It's there's a certain type of sin. Okay? Fine. That's sort of three models. However, common denominator to all these models is that all of these models believe that this is a localized point comparing Arayot and Midot. Model four is the Rambam. The Rambam does not believe anything I just said. The Rambam said, this is a much, right, so we had metaphysical statements, which are relatively sweeping. The Meiri, which is like not sweeping at all, it's very didactic, right, it's not even saying anything metaphysical, right? The Rambam goes in the opposite direction, which is, this is a very sweeping statement. What is it a statement about? Nope. All bin adam l'chabero versus all bin adam l'makom. Boom, right? The Rambam says, Kashe onshan shel midot, yoter mi onshan shel arayot, shezeh beino levein ha-makom, vezeh beino levein chavero. Right? This is not about reversibility. It's not a... No, this is a metaphysical statement about all... Or it's... Not metaphysical, I'll take it back. It's a statement about all of mitzvot ben chavero versus all ben adam l'makom. Wow. That's a good question. Thank you. Right? So now you'll tell me why not. Right? So now we've moved macro. All ben adam l'chavero versus all ben adam l'makom. Okay. But now we still have two possibilities. The Rambam could be saying that metaphysically, or he could be saying it practically. Right? He doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
Right? So, the Ma'aser Rokeach is bothered by this. Right, bothered by the Rambam. And he says, what is the Rambam doing? Why is the Rambam saying something so sweeping that's not found in the Gemara? Right, Kasha. He said, furthermore, why does the Rambam doesn't seem to work? Why? Because the Gemara says the problem is Efshar B'tshuva. Now, maybe by Midot you can't ask for Tshuva, but by other Midot L'chaviro, you can. So his answer is, well, Tosfos brings cases where you can't fix the Arayo. That means that's not the real rule. He says the Rambam had Tosfos' kasha in the back of his mind, and then therefore he thought that the Gemara's answer is not the real answer. The real answer is Beit HaLevi Rabbeinu Lomako. And that's what he says in the last in line. L'kach bachar lo tamzed akopanu amiti v'yatsiv. Because it touches kasha, he didn't really like the Gemara. So he came up with a new explanation, right? Which is true. Yes, he rejected the Gemara. Yes, he rejected the Gemara because it touches kasha in favor of a sweeping answer that he felt was true. That is the Maaser Kesh claim on how the Rambam dealt with his Gemara. Yes, I understand how that sounds. Okay, 1 second. Fine. Right, Ben Yosef quotes this. No, no one really deals with it. Rambam just sort of throws it out there, and then we could take it as metaphysically, or we could take it as, you know, practically it's harder. But the Rambam basically just takes this as a rule of all of life. Yes, I got that. Fine. There are other approaches. So the next line in the Gemara, which I didn't get into, which is that people who violate Midot are a who could kofir beastie at Mitzrayim. Now, the Gemara doesn't explicitly link that to this statement, but several of the Mefarshim seem to. So it sounds that way in Shulchan Aruch, right, because they link this to Halacha. Midot, it's as if they're kofir b'yitziyat Mitzrayim. Why? Right? So, if you look, for example, the Aruch HaShulchan says, look, people who don't believe in Yitziyat Mitzrayim, they don't believe in Hashgacha. And people who think they need to make a living by basically cheating everybody reveal they don't really believe in Hashgacha, and therefore they're taking matters in their own hands. That's why it's a worse sin. Right? Meaning, the Aruch HaShulchan says, it actually is worth metaphysically, but it's linked to the next stage in the Gemara, which is, it's kofir yitziyat Mitzrayim. The theological implications, right? Meaning, when someone violates an erva, what are they saying theologically? Very little. Right? Right? Most people, when they violate a right, are not saying anything. They're not thinking with their head. Right? But money, at some level, right, they are thinking, I need to take care of myself. Right? And if it means stealing a little here, a little there. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan that deals with it. So the Sma, this is not really an order, it's just, these are what comes up in Shulchan Aruch. Sma also takes a metaphysical one, but he adds a little twist, which he says, look, it's true, right? So far, everyone we've said has said, maybe Arayot are worse, but it's easier to do tshuva. He says, it's easier to do tshuva because all you need to get kapara is charata, fine. Vidui, fine. So far, you're with me. So far, we'll do it. Visigufim, and self-flagellation, right? Self-torture, right? So the smart solution to all of this is, look, you have an easy solution, make out the lamakums. Torture yourself. Don't know what to tell you. That's the smart on Shulchan Aruch. 16th century. Shulchan Aruch, just saying. Commentary on Shulchan Aruch, just saying. The Levush also goes in the theological problem, right, that you're not, right, by linking it to the theological issue. The Oruch L'chaim has yet a different metaphysical approach, which is, Arayot is worse, but the midat hadin, like the metaphysical attribute of God's justice, has more ability to bring you to court against, in God's court, for midot than arayot. If you think I know what that means, I don't. And his next statement, I understand even little. Wait, I'm sorry. But his next statement, I understand even little, even less. So don't blame me. I don't know what to do with what I'm about to read, right? He says, Ki ba'arayot goreim chesed v'ava ra'a u'shfeila ben anashim. So why is this true? Because arayot is bad, but at least it's love. Bad love, wrong love, forbidden love, but love. And love doesn't allow for God's anger to express itself in the world. But me don't make people fight, and that's worse. If I have any, I have no idea what I just read. None. Zero idea what I just read.
I mean, on the one hand, it seems better
with the leaky. Is it? Is it? I don't know if it's better. That was 16. That was 16. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Okay? I don't know what to tell you. What? The Ora Chaim quoted by the Daf al Hadaf in 16. Yeah, I honestly, I don't know what to tell you, okay? I don't know what to tell you. Don't know what to tell you. Okay? Whew. Yeah, okay, the Panim Yafot has an argument, I'll leave it, it's in terms of how God pays you back, fine. I'm just going to skip through this whole sefer here, I don't know what to tell you, Okay, if you want a whole analysis of Tosfot, so I gave you this analysis of Tosfot, in the Yesh Seder LeMishnah. Okay? Fine. So again, let's summarize what we have. We have the metaphysical approaches, which are, it's worse because it's unfixable, and then the question is that only with or without a mamzer depends on whether you think mamzer actually affects the gravity of your sin or is just a consequence, right? Tosfot. There's the metaphysical approach that we just saw, which is excessive love is somehow worse than excessive fighting. I have no idea what to tell you there. Don't know what to do. We saw some qualifications, right? Kovashirim. Okay, fine. Then we have the possibility that this is didactic. It's not really about which is worse. It's didactic, which is more likely to be violated, Mi'iri. Then we have the Maharal who says it's not really about sin in general. It's a particular type of sin, right? Those which breach boundaries. Then within the metaphysical camp, right, why is it easier to tshuva? There's variations. Is it because there's also a little bit of kfira in it? Is it because being Adam Lamakam, you can always just hit yourself a few more times and it's all good, right? Then we have the Rambam is very radical. It's all been Adam Lamakam, all been Adam Lamakam, which is a much more sweeping statement. I gave you, again, this Yesh Seder LeMishnah that is a whole analysis. The Panim Yafot has a little bit of analysis. Maybe it's about how God metes out punishment, but it's a very technical thing in that sense. Fine. I found in 19, the Chushuke Chemed, Kidarko Bakodesh, decided that he had a halachic shayla that came out of this whole thing. So I had to include it for you. You'll tell me, what is this? Leave it to Rav Zilberstein to come up with a halachic shayla that's Ola from this. Here's his question. Rav Zilberstein, he's a posting mini brock. That guy. Yeah, I don't know. Yes. Fine. Shayla. Adam she'achol l'damek l'afrish et ruven mi'isur erva l'afrish shimon ha'socher. Me'uven al-shimush mishkalot avil. If you only have time and energy to stop one sinner, a perpetual adulterer, incestuous, right? Or someone who has a messed up, right? So which one do you do? So he said, on the one hand, you would say Isser Erva is worse because it's Kare. On the other hand, the Gemara says Kacha Onshan Shalmidot, right? So what do you do? So he says, I'll be honest, I tend to agree with his answer. His answer is, if you can, start with the guy with a riot. Says for two reasons. One, that is always two people sinning. Two, as we've seen, most of the Mefarshim say that Kasha Onshin is about the punishment, not about how bad the sin is. Right? So the fact that he can't do tshuva is his problem. But in terms of your responsibility as a mochiach, you have to judge the severity of the sin, not the difficulty of tshuva. Right? I think that's a pretty... Then, of course, he quotes the Orach L'chaim, which we just saw, which is excessive love, But to be fair, I don't always agree with Silverstein, but I do in this, because this is his summary of that position. V'hu davar nora. Right? Now, nora in biblical Hebrew means awesome. In modern Hebrew, nora means unexpressibly horrifying. Right? Right? So I tend to agree with his assessment of that position. I don't know, but if he means the second, then maybe I do agree. First one, I don't know what to tell you. Which is awesome. No, I don't think so. exactly. Yeah. Fine. So that is at least, I had to just, you know, give that to you. I don't think we have time to do Gvur Hashem, which is fine. We already saw the Maharal. Maharal and Gvur Hashem has a bit of a different approach, but I gave it to you that in 20. Rav Hirsch, if you're interested, spends a bit of time on exactly what the Ele and the El point means. Right, he has all types of interesting comments there. If you get to it, great. Just to get you a few more answers, I gave you the summary in 22 from the English. I think that's all we're going to have time for. So here are some answers, right, which focus on something we haven't yet, which is, what does the hay, right? I mean, remember, the Gemara proved this all from the difference between el, ha'el, and ha'ele, right? What's the difference between el and ele? So, refers as his possibility, but here's a few others. Marsha quotes the Gemara that we saw in Menachot last year, that this world is created with a hay, right? Because it symbolizes that you can climb back through the door to do tshuva, right? So Marsha points to that, and he says, aha, you see, hay is the lever, is the letter that indicates the difficulty of tshuva. It's the letter that represents tshuva. Right? Now, obviously, I could have gone the other way and said, Ela is better, right? Because it has a hay, which means you can do tshuva, and El is worse because it has no hay. But he takes it the other way. He says, Ela is worse because it's indicating that there's, right? Yeah, exactly, right? That like, you really need tshuva more, right? So that's how he deals with it. The Torah Chaim gives another explanation. He says, he notes that Rashi says that selling merchandise by is something like being like a judge. And I think this is in many ways similar to the Maharal that we saw. The problem really is, right, there are five, he says, there are five epithets to describe corruption in court. Avel, Sanui, Meshukot, Cherem, Toiva. And he says, what it's showing you is that you violate these. Now, what is he really getting into? But what is he really getting at? I think this is sort of like Maharal. Right, he's saying the problem isn't that it's a greater sin. It's that it's a corruption of society in a way that Nerva really isn't. Right? Because, right, when you, right, like the bonds of trust that make, right, business run, that represent basically, right, basic society, right, that is like a basic building block of society. When you mess with that, right, you mess with the framework that society functions in. Which I do think there's something like that. Okay, the Ben Yehoyada uses this to explain something else. You can look at it yourself. But again, so just to summarize, what do we see? So, a series of metaphysical approaches. Some said it's about all araya. Some say it's only araya without imams there. Didactic approaches. All ben al chaver, all ben al makom. Metaphysical approaches that I have no idea what they mean, that have something to do with excess love and excess hate in the world. Don't ask me what the heck that means, right? The possibility that maybe it's only about specific type, in a certain way it's worse, that it creates sort of, it breaks down barriers, or the way that the Tzadik Chaim said it, which is, right, it sort of breaks down society in a way that Arayot don't quite, right? So maybe it's just descriptive in that sense. And then the possible halachic nafkamina, which again picks up on the notion that that you always have to distinguish between what's worse for you, right, objectively, and what's worse for the sinner, right? And by distinguishing between the sinner and the person who's mochriach, right, you may be able to break those apart. Those are at least a snapshot of these. It wasn't as long as it looked. I just sort of gave you everything. I hope that gives you at least a little insight into this. Some of them are wildly surprising.